is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness, my colleague and co-host, and we welcome Malcolm Hoenlein, our informant, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Malcolm, the Hamas on the run continued to fire rockets at Tel Aviv and other parts of Israel. What can you tell us about the advance by the IDF in Khan Yunis, which is said to be the epicenter of these rocket attacks? Good evening to you.
Good evening to both of you, and it's good to be with you. And we're in a very hectic and dynamic time. We're seeing the rocket fire today was not just on Tel Aviv, but hit seven or eight different locations, didn't do any damage. The Iron Dome obviously was working and interceded only in a couple cases because most of the missiles ended in open areas. But the very fact that they could fire and even fired on Tel Aviv obviously is significant. There is a belief that there are still 2,000 terrorists in the north and that they have reemerged because Israel was trying to open it up to allow people to go back. But it shows why they have to completely eradicate Hamas. You can't leave any vestige behind, or else you're just going to have resurgence of violence, even if it's from a small part of the original forces. In addition, as you said, in Khan Yunis, they continue to fire. Every apartment has to be gone into. Every house has to be gone into because all of them, or many of them, will contain an entrance to a tunnel or a launching mechanism, some of them primed to go off. And some obviously booby-trapped and cost the lives of soldiers. They are trying to be more cautious in going in, and there are less airstrikes. But they just found today under one of the main cemeteries of Bin Shalal that a whole network, including living quarters for the Hamas leadership, a command center, manufacturing facility, in this just one additional site that they went to underneath the cemetery. The fact is that the majority of the tunnels still remain. It's more than 500 miles of them. They've cleansed them of a lot of the weapons and manufacturing facilities, but Hamas retains that ability. They are now meeting more resistance in Gaza itself, where we've seen people who are being evacuated demonstrating against Gaza. And there's footage actually that was made available, including from Khan Yunis, where the humanitarian corridor that Israel established, and the chanting was the people want to overthrow Hamas. And it's an interesting development that they're willing to do this publicly, even though they were being filmed. The road was opened by the IDF to allow people to get away from the areas where the heavy fighting was taking place. So maybe there's an awakening on a part of the people of Gaza to this to the realities of what they face. But in the meantime, we are seeing the continued funding and the expenditures by Hamas, and Hamas leadership doesn't seem to have been impacted. What they did say, and this is interesting because the whole world blames Israel about no two-state solution, the leaders of Hamas have made very clear now that they totally reject any two-state solution because they don't believe any Israel should remain in place. And unfortunately, you see a majority of the people, both in the West Bank, but in fact more than in Gaza, who say that you cannot, they want Israel destroyed completely.
Malcolm, Thaddeus has got a question. Go ahead, Thaddeus.
Well, doesn't that play into the whole concept that there is such October 7th denialism amongst the population of the Palestinian Authority in Gaza and elsewhere?
That does play exactly into that. And it's an important thing that people understand. For one thing, the media in Gaza and in the West Bank does not show the videos of what happened on October 7th. They do show the denial. They do show some of the stories about the claiming that it's all fabrication. So the people don't really know the truth about the story. And they, the vast majority, by the way, believe that in total denial of the reality and of the facts on the ground. And this is unfortunately a spreading denial. And it goes to both parts of the Palestinian areas where the information about any of the events have been denied. And Al Jazeera, for instance, doesn't properly report or record it. And they don't tell the story about what the devastation that was wrought by the Hamas and what it led to in Gaza today. The only thing they show is that Israel is responsible for all of the problems that have occurred in the region.
The hostages, Malcolm, the number I have is approximately 140, but the confusing headlines, Paris to London to Tel Aviv, and certainly throughout the Arab world, there is said to be a negotiation. The conversations are said to be, and this word is used repeatedly, constructive. It involves exchanging hostages, all of them, for a ceasefire or a pause in the combat, 2 months or 4 months. Israel is said to have acceded to some part of the deal in Paris. Hamas has not commented or has been negative so far. I'm not going in one direction, Malcolm, because all of this is contradictory. What can you tell us?
So the negotiations are ongoing. A lot of the reports are not true, and Prime Minister issued a statement today saying that the reports of a deal, which had astronomical numbers, saying that only 35 hostages for a month or 2 month lull in fighting, but also they wanted hundreds of hostages hundreds of released prisoners for every hostage. Obviously, terms that Israel and no one else could agree to. The number of hostages obviously is not known. Those that are alive, we know how many are missing. But the negotiations in Paris, which includes the CIA director Bill Burns and the head of the Mossad and the Qatari prime minister and others, it is an attempt to try to resolve the hostage issue. We know from all the polls in Israel that that is considered the most sensitive and important issue, and they want to see it resolved. And by the way, most Americans believe that there can be no resolution until the hostages are released, and we've seen some recent polling that in the United States, two-thirds support a ceasefire, but only after the removal of Hamas and the release of the hostages by overwhelming numbers. And certainly in Israel, that is true as well. So by 80%, the people support Israel over Hamas in the United States, despite the propaganda campaigns that we've witnessed. So it's such a superhuman tragedy to see what is going on, and especially when the agencies that are supposed to be dealing with humanitarian causes have all been found to be corrupted and to be complicit in the terrorism.
That is.
Speaking of which, Malcolm, isn't it true that they had noticed that there was a potential for complicity and participation in terrorist attacks, and yet the UN disregarded that information?
That is absolutely true, and that for years there have been warnings, and I know on this program we have discussed it in the past about the involvement of UNRWA workers. Now it's been documented. 12 of them were fired, and all of a sudden the Secretary General of the UN said he wasn't aware, even though he had been presented with this information years ago. In fact, some of them were accused of being involved in kidnapping people. Others, the employees of UNRWA, gave out ammunition. And about a third took part in the massacre at the kibbutz where 97 people were killed. There's just so much information documenting specific individuals, as well as the fact that teachers at UNRWA schools, school counselors and others, as well as the school facilities, were used to aid and abet the terrorism. And we know that many of the rockets and things were stored in UNRWA facilities. And now 11 countries have suspended their funding, including the United States, which I didn't realize was giving almost a third of $1 billion a year to this fund, and tens of millions each by the UK, Australia, Canada, Finland, Germany, all the others, Japan, Estonia, have all cut off the funding, which has caused panic at the United Nations. And now they're willing to suspend, or the 12 workers were fired. There are 12,000 UNRWA workers. 10% are believed to have ties to terrorism. Half of them are believed to have a relative or some other connection to Hamas or other terrorist organizations. So this is it's so corrupt, and it's so wrought with connections to terrorism that I think it has to be dismantled before anything further can be done.
Malcolm, we have reported this for 20 years. 20 years uh-huh. now. I couldn't count. My notes are ridiculous. It became routine for us. We didn't even feature it anymore. It was so routine. Now, is Guterres and his administrative staff, are they claiming they never heard the radio for 20 years?
I'll give you one example, which was publicized because 3,000 UNRWA teachers were part of a celebrated on Telegram and praised Hamas as holy warriors and praised the outcome of October 7th. Now, that was publicly available. There is no way that UN officials did not know this. It's no way they didn't know about the other connections because it was found in their schools constantly. We show them the markings on the boards. John, you've seen these pictures, I know, where they said if you kill six Jews and kill six more Jews, how many Jews have you killed?
Yeah.
It was known. They didn't want to know it.
And what is Guterres was welcomed when he took over the UN, and he spoke convincingly. Is he now claiming he was not informed by his staff that UNRWA is rotten from the beginning?
You're raising some very sensitive points. And as you know, I've met many times with the Secretary General. I respected him. I liked him. And yet, like his predecessors, they fall into the grip of the anti-Semitic, anti-American also, woke culture of the UN. It's blatantly hostile to us and to Israel in particular. And it seems that it just grabs hold of them and they're no longer free to think. They then try to justify what the UN's actions are. And maybe it's to get the support or because they become uncomfortable. But most of all, because the employees reflect the same problem we have in UNRWA, that many of them are on the wrong side of the issues.
It's hard to account for, Malcolm. This isn't the first general secretary who's been informed about UNRWA's the challenge of UNRWA. We can go back all the way to Kofi Annan. All of this, UNRWA was we didn't keep it secret, Malcolm. It wasn't, you didn't need to offer proof. It was, they boasted about it.
And the same thing is true about Hamas generally. You know, we see all of the aggression. Iran reads this right. They know they can get away with anything. They launched 3 satellites this week, which is really more to improve their long-range ballistic missile system. Where's the attack? Where's the language on it? We see that the Houthis continue their attacks against the shipping. Even Yemeni leaders now are calling on the U.S. and the Saudis to eliminate the threat of the rebel Houthis. They want them to destroy them. This is the leader of the Yemeni government, which we recognize. And yet the United Nations doesn't do anything to take this up after all of the strikes against shipping, which is costing people a great deal of money, individual consumers, because the price of products can go up 10 or 15% because they have to go around Africa to get to deliver the goods. All of these things undermine the image, the concept, and the principles of the United Nations.
Malcolm Hoelein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. I'm John Batchelor.